welcome everybody to the War and Peace Baseball Podcast. It is episode 89 for Tuesday, October 3rd. I'm Alex Uy, and I'm here today with Ray Estrada. What's up, Ray?
How's it going, man?
As well as Alex Rudy. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Doing fantastic. We are ready for the playoffs. Finally. We got the best time of the year. It's October. Couldn't be happier. I mean, don't get me wrong. This is a great regular season. We'll talk about everything. We'll wrap it up nice and clean as well. But, you know, the last few days weren't really meaningful at all. You know, everything was wrapped up. It wasn't down to the wire like you would want from the regular season. So, you know, very relaxing day of baseball Sunday. And now it is anything but that. It is single game elimination down to the wire. We've got the Yankees and the Twins going at the AL wild card on Tuesday. And we'll talk about both of these games. We'll talk about the NL wild card between the Rockies and the Diamondbacks as well. So plenty to be excited about. What are you guys most excited about to see this postseason real quick? Whether it's just the wild card games or, you know, Ray, I'm sure you want to see your Dodgers back full force for this postseason run, right?
Yeah, Dodgers World Series would be the ultimate goal for my playoff viewing experience. But I kind of like to see a little bit of chaos thrown in there because there seems like everybody's kind of just really rolling with Arizona and the Yankees. Chaos outside of the Dodgers losing, but I'd like to see a little kind of wild stuff going in there. And I think we're going to get it. It's October. It's baseball. It's going to be exciting. All the predictions kind of go out the window. It's kind of a best guess at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what about you, Rudy? Obviously, tomorrow's game, the Yankee game tomorrow is going to be, you know, all or nothing. It's all riding on this one game. I definitely am excited and terrified at the same time. So, you know, how are you feeling?
Two things. One, just from the basic kind of more analytical viewpoint, I'm curious to see, if the Diamondbacks and Yankees both lose, if the MLB look into changing the wild card format again. To make it less likely for teams with huge leads between the first and second wild card spots, print that, like, to give, you know, more reward, such as a longer series format, 2-3 games, something like that. Because I think it could be a potential issue that, like, a team that has 10 more wins than the team below it is going to lose after one game and get eliminated for the playoffs. But more importantly, by far favorite part of baseball is the playoffs. That's probably because I'm a Yankees fan, but I mean, in my opinion, where baseball excels as a sport is in the MLB postseason. And there have been some unbelievable series this decade so far, and this was probably the best season that I've ever witnessed in my lifetime. So I really just cannot wait to see what the postseason will end up being, because based on how the last few postseasons have gone and based on how this season has gone, this will be a postseason to remember for years, if not our entire lives.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, the encore to last year's historic postseason. You know, I have high hopes for this year, and I think it'll live up to some hype. We got some good matchups here, and we'll podcast about all of the matchups in the division series, the championship series, and the World Series going forward. So be on the lookout for those. We'll talk about all that stuff. You know, for right now, I think it's nothing more to say than, you know, good luck to these wild card teams first and foremost. I agree. It's so unfortunate that it's all down to one game for these teams, but, you know, it is what it is. The Twins and the Yankees, we'll start with them. If you're only interested in hearing about the Rockies and the Diamondbacks, I'll go ahead and try to timestamp where we start talking about that and include that in the description as well. So if you want to skip ahead, feel free to, but we are going to get right into the Yankees-Twins matchup. Of course, the starters for these teams, Irvin Santana versus Luis Severino. Man, the Yankees really, I am really amazed that they kind of just fell into this amazing ace-type pitcher. I mean, last year, He looked like he was going to be really good. Didn't expect him to skyrocket the way he did this year, Luis Severino, that is. And I couldn't feel any better. Like, you know, we had Masahiro Tanaka go for the Yankees in the last wild card game we appeared in that we lost, but somehow I feel better about Luis Severino. I think everybody feels the same way for the most part. Rudy, do you agree that Severino, like, is probably the best, you know, might be the best wild card pitcher out of, you know, all four that are going for any team? Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, you know, you said he was good last year. I think he was really great in 2015, and then his 2016 season.
I feel like it was just last year.
Which is crazy. He actually had, last year was his first full season in the major leagues, I believe. Though he had an extended campaign in 2015 where he was surprisingly effective. Especially because what people don't realize about Severino is that before that year when he shot up the leaderboards before the season as a top prospect, he was nowhere on anyone's radar. This past 4 years, he's gone from a nothing prospect to an ace pitcher. That's very rare in baseball, in my opinion, especially for a guy this young. But less tangentially, I would have to agree. I think Greinke is fucking Zach Greinke. He was one of Cy Young. You can't, you know, underrate that. But Severino had an extremely good season, probably the most underrated pitching performance in the AL, if not the major leagues, I would say. And I think you have to put him in this game, even though he's never been in a situation with nearly as much pressure. Tanaka has not been nearly consistent enough this year, regardless of how good he was in the last start of the season. I don't really care if he struck out 15 Blue Jays, who had nothing to play for except to not be in last place. Big deal.
I think it's worth mentioning they didn't end up in last place,
right,
which is amazing,
like, still,
to me.
Like, and they were in last place the whole season, which, good for them.
Except for, like, the very last day.
Yeah. But I think he's been so effective and crisp, and he's had just so, knock on wood, so few poor starts that there's no way he can't be the guy.
Those guys are really excited about it, too. I can tell.
I apologize for my background.
No. I mean, it's part of the experience. You know, we're all college students. We got
the
people in the backgrounds. It's you just get what you get, face value. We're not gonna overdo things here. But, you know, with Severino, it's so much more than just good. He had a 10.71 K per nine this year. Obviously, way higher than it ever has been for him. His opponent's OPS was 603. That is insanely effective. Like, he's limiting all kinds of damage. He wasn't even getting that lucky with, you know, his BABIP. He's just been that good. He works ahead. He stays ahead. He doesn't walk a lot of batters, which, you know, those high-velocity guys, that seems like what normally happens when, you know, a pitcher is throwing in the high 90s. No, not at all. He only walked 51 batters to 230 strikeouts. That's really good. You know, that's like Noah Syndergaard-esque. I think they're, you know, going to be very close in terms of, you know, effectiveness for me going forward. That's how highly I think of him. And that's a very, you know, unbiased Yankee fan opinion. I would say the same thing about, you know, I mean, Syndergaard's a perfect example. I felt exactly the same way about him. He came out and just showed that he can dominate the strike zone. The walks weren't going to be a problem, and then he just took care of business. And he did so in the wildcard game, so I hope that's a good omen there. People in my background are apparently very excited about it, too. So let's keep talking about...
I think the season series is also very important and worth mentioning.
Yes, I think that is also. I kind of wanted to touch on the opposing starting pitcher here, which, you know, will play into this, you know, head-to-head matchup more as well. You know, with Ervin Santana, who had a very shockingly good year for the Minnesota Twins, and it kind of speaks volumes to how unexpected their appearance this postseason is. But, you know, they did it. They made it. They kind of looked like the Brewers for a while. Like, they were bound to get leapfrogged at some point, but they hung in there. They dealt at the trade deadline, and now they're running out, you know, one of their best guys that they've had from a very unlikely source with Santana. You know, Ray, I'll go ahead and ask you about Santana here just because he's not a Yankee, basically, and we can't all talk about the Yankees. We have to give the Twins some love. So, what do you like about Santana in this matchup here, Ray?
One thing that caught my eye about Santana, looking at his stats and his splits, he is significantly better on the road compared to at home. 6-5 at home, 10-3 on the road with a 2.71 ERA compared to 3.90 at home, and only one more start on the road. He had one more start in what looks like 7 more innings. He has 3 less hits. He's given up 3 less hits, 9 less runs, 10 less earned runs, or 11 less earned runs, 3 less home runs. Everything is better. Pretty much every stat is better except his K per 9. His batting average is down about 15 points, or 20 points actually. His whip is down about 15 points on the road, and that's with exactly seven more innings and one more start under his belt. So that was very intriguing to me, and so that kind of stood out to me when I was saying, okay, Santana's been a very good pitcher all year. Can he match up against Severino? And I think that stat tells you that he can, especially when you consider that it is a road game for Minnesota, is that he's been good on the road. So that's the one thing that he has going for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's nothing really to argue against there. And, you know, the season series would suggest that the Yankees are definitely at an advantage being at home. They, you know, went 4-2 against the Twins this year, and they swept the home series that they had. They were 3-0 at Yankee Stadium, which is, you know, really, really big deal. But at the same time, you throw that Santana's been very good on the road. I can't ignore that. It does, you know, present itself as an actual, you know, yes, legitimate
Santana
statistic.
Santana did pitch at Yankee Stadium, actually September 18th.
And he didn't pitch poorly. He gave up 2 runs.
His line isn't bad.
He didn't pitch well either, though.
No.
I mean, 7 hits and 5 2/3, I would not say is anything special. And that is probably enough to give the Yankees a victory, I would say.
But 2 earned runs is just fine. I mean, it's a loss, unfortunately, for him. But, I mean, that's not a terrible line. For him, it's not like Severino pitched in that series too, and he didn't have his best outing. I think he only pitched 3 innings against them 2 days later.
Pitched terrible.
3 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned runs is his highest earned run total in all of September, and his lowest strikeout total in September. So, I mean, I'm not saying that the Twins are going to win. I think they have a closer chance than a lot of people are giving them. But I would definitely say that it's very intriguing, this pitching matchup.
Yeah, and, you know, you can take whatever you want from the regular season and extract it and, you know, put that all into some sort of magic formula to try to determine who wins. Anything can happen here, and it's been said many, many times that it's baseball. Anything can happen. But actually, though, like, there's so many different scenarios that people have to play through in their heads even beforehand. It's not set in stone with the starters, and especially in today's game where starters, you know, in a high leverage game like this, Severino might only go 5 innings, and he is probably the third best pitcher in the American League. That's just the kind of game we have today, like with super strong bullpens, really overused bullpens, really quick trigger fingers from managers. I expect nothing less from Girardi. I think the Yankees are going to go straight to that bullpen as soon as they feel any sort of threat. You know, maybe they'll let Severino ride it out a little bit more if they jump out to a big lead. But if it's, you know, within 2-3 runs, I fully expect to see Chad Green, Betances, Canely, Robertson, Chapman, anybody and everybody that is on hand. That is, you know, it would be such a waste not to see them in that one game playoff. You know, I think with so many names in there, Rudy, which relief pitcher really, you know, seems like the X factor or like the most important reliever for this game in particular? Like, who do you have your eye on from the Yankees or the Twins? I mean, the Twins just have a much less interesting bullpen, but, you know, who are you looking at here, bullpen-wise?
I'm very confident that Joe Girardi will not pull Buck Showalter, but I think Chapman has to be the X factor. I just don't see how he can't be, because You have to, don't you have to pitch him in this game if you have a lead in the high leverage situation? Are you really not going to pitch your $80 million star reliever no matter how up and down a season's been? I mean, that's the guy you're paying the big bucks to win you these games. And if he's on, it's game over. But if he's not, the Yankees are packing their bags and driving home, I guess. Not really packing their bags since it's in New York, but
Well, I mean, they're packing going home to wherever they
I
live,
think he
respectively.
has to be the X factor because how can you not pitch him and yet how can you trust him completely either? Honestly, as long as the Yankees have a lead through 5 innings, I'm not worried about it until the ninth, but the ninth could get interesting. And I don't know, Chapman kind of ended this last one of the season not nearly as hysterically inconsistent as he was
You can say he
around
was good the
August.
last couple weeks. It's okay, it won't kill you. He was good the last couple weeks.
But do you disagree with you guys? Just you guys can disagree with me, but I think you have to pitch him.
Well,
Like
here's
there's
the
no.
thing.
I think you have to pitch him too, but I mean, you mentioned how, like, eighth, ninth inning. Do you think they could just use him early and get that inconsistent factor out of the way in
I
the
guess you
sixth
could,
or
but
seventh?
it's just that would
That's
be
a weird way to
unprecedented
think
call,
about it.
honestly.
That's a weird way to think about it.
I'm
I
not
don't
saying
think.
they should. I'm just posing that question.
You can't think of it like you have to get that uncertainty out of the way. Like, you have to use, I mean, that's where I give Girardi so much credit, is his flexibility with the bullpen. I mean, it's the same reason we praise Terry Francona and what he's able to do last year. He threw Andrew Miller in, the freaking fourth inning, and it looked like a genius move because he just knew that his players were comfortable with going in at any time in a high leverage situation. And we talk about the dominant bullpen, they're all really good strikeout pitchers, but they're all such different types of pitchers. If it's the eighth inning and the bases are loaded, I'm not going to bring in Aroldis Chapman, who has control issues. I'm probably going to bring in, Tommy Kahnle, who just freaking pounds the zone, not going to risk walking in a run. Chad Green, notorious for pounding the zone, probably get, 2 innings if he's coasting, at least. I mean, he's been extremely effective out of that bullpen role. It all depends on, how they look at that exact moment on that day. If Chad Green doesn't look very good out the gates, then you could consider pulling him after, one or two outs. But, if he's rolling, you can throw him for, 6 or 7 outs. It really depends on so many different factors. It's amazing that our general consensus is that Luis Severino is probably not going to go super deep into this game. And I kind of wish he would. I think I would be much more intrigued if he takes a shutout into the seventh or eighth inning at the very least, and keeping that intrigue level up. I can't say I want a close game because it's going to be nerve-wracking for me personally as a Yankee fan, but I can see that happening. These wild card games are played very conservatively, so just be aware of that. We're definitely not talking enough about the Twins here. We're not giving them the credit they deserve. What kind of X factors, position player-wise, do you think we're looking at here with the Twins? Because, a lot of really unknown names that came to fruition this year. You got guys like Eddie Rosario, Byron Buxton starting to look like a great player. Jorge Polanco has been very good recently. There's so many names that look like they should be, poised to be kind of X factors at this point. What Rudy, who on the Twins really, poses the biggest threat in your opinion? Any no? Okay. Something's happening. I am somehow all alone now.
You cut out a little bit there. Sorry, what'd you say?
No problem. I kind of directed it towards you and asked, which Twins position player looks like the biggest X factor for this game.
I think that obviously, Brian Dozier and Mauer are huge, and they cannot be underrated. But for me, but I'm gonna pick Byron Buxton as the X factor because he's explosive and he is dynamic. And if I was gonna pick any player on the Twins, just to make a play that changes the game for them, I think he has the highest potential, because he just is their most talented sheer talented player, and in these games, I think oftentimes teams have the lead on those guys who, you know, even if not the most consistent, they have the star potential and the star power. By the way, I may be very out of the loop here, but is Miguel Sano available for this game?
I do believe he is available.
I'm not seeing
I
him
don't
on, like,
know that he's
Minnesota
starting
Twins. Though. Yeah, I'm not seeing like on the Minnesota Twins like
depth charts right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm
he
a little bit
did
confused
play
on that.
Recently, but I think he has been he's been wavering. I think he's been dealing with health issues as well, which is why, you know, guys like Eduardo Escobar have been getting a lot of time at third base. Yeah, he came off the DL like right at the end of the season.
I got you. He's likely not to start the game, so
right.
I would
he is,
have picked
he is
him
healthy,
if he was
though,
fully
now.
Healthy.
He did come
for
off
sure.
He did come off the DL, and he will definitely pinch hit if the time calls for it. So
got it.
That is, you know, a very reasonable X factor to look at. Actually, you know, one of the better, you know, offensive players for them at the beginning of the year, not going to be starting this game. I think did they release lineups? They just released the likely rosters, right? Or the projected rosters, I guess. I don't know if they released
I don't think
lineup.
They've come out the lineups yet. It's usually day of.
Yeah, so if there's any, you know, strange, you know, things going on here, I guess it's that you know, Robbie Grossman is going to DH for them, it looks like, who is, you know, kind of a weird on-base OPS type of machine, but doesn't really provide much else, so I guess DH is the spot for him. And then Eduardo Escobar, as I mentioned, is going to start at third base, not Sano. You know, obviously Brian Dozier is the scariest player on this team. He does seem to have the clutch gene a little bit. He's had some really big hits this month, this past month especially. But, you know, I can't consider that an X factor because he is a very, you know, defined superstar at this point. Like, he is, I think he leads all, like, middle infielders in home runs over the last 4 years or something crazy like that. And that's something I never would have expected from him. But I think the scariest player in my mind that could really do something special is Eddie Rosario, who I have seen play in person. I watched him during the World Baseball Classic, actually, and he was really impressive. He's a really athletic, dynamic player, something that not a lot of people give him credit for. He's got a cannon for an arm, so that kind of shuts down a lot of game right there. And
you and I saw that firsthand.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he made a fantastic throw the other day, this past week. One of the hardest throws of the entire season, right on the money. That's definitely a factor. And he's a sweet swinging lefty at Yankee Stadium, so that always, you know, poses a threat as well. All the lefties, really, you know. Max Kepler is another guy who definitely has the ability to just pop a short line drive over that fence at any time. So, you know, there's plenty of threats offensively from the Twins. Very underrated lineup throughout the course of the season. And, you know, the Yankees lineup really pretty consistent throughout the season. Obviously, everything builds around their superstars, Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez. But at the same time, I kind of worry that, you know, in a one-game playoff, they can easily be pitched around. And I'm not sure how I feel about that because they both strike out a lot. You don't have to pitch to them in pretty much any scenario. I think it's going to fall to some of the guys like Didi and, you know, Frazier, Holiday. These guys need to do some damage if they have runners on base. Is there anybody on the Yankees that, position player-wise, you're really looking for to do some damage or come up in a big role? Ray, I'll throw this one to you.
I'm sorry, what was the question again? Kind of.
Oh, which Yankee position player do you think is going to play a very important role, you know, besides Judge or Sanchez?
I think you can look at guys like Todd Frazier, you mentioned, because he's been very inconsistent all year, kind of a disappointing year for him with both the White Sox and the Yankees. A lot of their fringe guys, I think Greg Bird could possibly, he's probably going to play first base, correct? He's been playing first base.
Yeah, I think that's where he's slated to start.
Yeah, Greg Bird, I believe Because I've been looking at position by position breakdown, and I think Headley was mentioned as a possible DH, maybe Holiday. So like those fringe guys, guys out of those names, they any one of those guys you pick, I think you can pick a name. Those are the question marks for the Yankees in terms of offense. If they can produce, and I think that they they'll lock this game down. But if they come up with second and third base loaded, and you see those guys coming up, I think it's really worth tuning into because I think those are the names that should be looked for.
Yeah, Rudy, you too. Like, who's going to be the hero for the Yankees if it's not Judge or Sanchez?
Well, I gotta go with Brett Gardner.
He's your boy.
He's just Mr. Dependable, in my opinion, on the Yankees, and he was the guy. He's the guy I would say if anyone could be described as clutch. I even made the stats part of him back this up. But if I was to pick one guy in the lineup, I would trust him the most. And I think honestly, I would not. Well, I know we kind of went past this, but I would not bat around Judge and Sanchez. I understand that logic, but it's not like the Yankee lineup is especially weak after those guys. It's not great, but plus I think they might bat Judge second, especially if that's a move that they decide to take. Girardi, you really, I mean, it's really going to be hard to see if that's a risk that you're really mitigating or if you're just increasing because, you know, yes, maybe one every five or one every four at bats, those two guys are guaranteed to go a yard. But those other four at bats or so, they could be guaranteed to strike out in this game.
I think
probably going to really depend on the score line and how the game develops. But I would be surprised if right off the bat they score. The immediate strategy the Twins go with was to pitch around those two guys.
Yeah, and I think it's important to consider, you know, we talked about it already, but Irvin Santana is not a big strikeout pitcher, and that's going to be a problem.
That's true.
Because the Yankees are definitely a team that has more trouble against strikeout pitchers. Irvin Santana will not be able to work his finesse game as well against a team like this.
That's a very underrated factor.
Yeah, and same goes for the Twins' bullpen. They have very pitch-to-contact relief pitchers, which is kind of shocking when you look at, you know, the kinds of relievers that there are in today's game. I don't even know if I could tell you who, like, their best strikeout relief pitcher is. You know, like, Taylor Rogers has probably been their most dependable all season, and he's a, you know, pitch-to-contact lefty guy. They have Glenn Perkins still. I have no idea how he's still around. They still have Matt Belisle, who's been their closer, but again, not a huge strikeout guy. It's going to be a tough bullpen game for them. Santana is one of the leaders in complete games for the season for good reason. They don't have many guys to turn to. So that's going to be the biggest, the most dangerous thing for them is, you know, trying to keep Santana in that game as long as possible. It's kind of the reverse of the Yankees. You know, I really am curious to see what they're able to do behind Santana because it's not a super strong bullpen. So I think it's a pretty good place to wrap up the AL wildcard discussion. Any last notes to make on this game from either of you, or are you guys good to go? I'm gonna go ahead and take that.
There you go. The Yankees better win, or I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Kill myself, probably. So.
Well, that's...
Might be my last time, my last podcast, guys. You never know.
Well, geez, they really better win now. That might be a problem. We'll talk later. But, yeah, either way, Twins, Yankees. I could, you know, I'm a Yankees fan, but honestly, the Twins getting to where they are, I can definitely appreciate it if they manage to go further. But, yeah, Yankees, don't screw it up, please. That would really, you know, make me sad for the entire month. Alrighty, so let's go ahead and talk about the National League now. So Colorado is at Arizona. It is going to be, you know, I want to say it's going to be a slugfest, but the pitchers out there are pretty darn good as well. John Gray versus Zach Greinke. But my God, the lineups are definitely the biggest, you know, threat for either of these teams. There's some scary, scary bats in there. I think this is Nolan Arenado's first playoffs. Is that right? Yeah, it has to be. So, very excited to see him in the playoffs. So, which lineup in particular looks like it has the biggest edge at this point, you could say.
I feel like, you could argue that Blackman and Arenado are the two best offensive players. I know you're a big Goldschmidt fan. I'm saying it's arguable, but to me, I feel like the Diamondbacks, sorry, just have that depth. And, ever since they added J.D. Martinez to that lineup, it's just, to me, just felt like just a juggernaut. Whereas when you look at Colorado, it's not like this is a weak lineup. You have DJ LeMahieu. You have a very resurgent Mark Reynolds coming out of nowhere. You have Chapara. You have Luke Roy. LeMahieu.
I don't know if Luke Roy is one of the premier names in that lineup.
I'm just trying to give him a chance. but, he's been pretty good for them in all honesty, since he's gotten traded.
I haven't looked very much at that.
He has improved. He's brought his average, at least on them, to around 300. But he's actually been one of the best, post-trade players this season. But when you look at the Diamondbacks, you have an outfield of Pollock, Peralta, Martinez, then Jake Lamb, Goldschmidt. Plus, Drury, Marte, Ina supporting. I think that's a little bit better. I don't know. I feel like more of those guys are in their primes and are, in the part of their career when they're playing their best baseball. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, I think it's fair to concede that J.D. Martinez might be the hottest hitter on the entire planet right now. He's definitely the scariest hitter on the planet right now. That man has, Barry Bonds-type slugging percentage this, basically since he's been with the Diamondbacks. And he's been one of the more consistent power hitters throughout the last, 3-4 years since he's really had that resurgence with the Tigers. I guess it's not a resurgence, it was just a surgence for him. It was just when he, started with the Tigers, I guess. But, man, J.D. Martinez is definitely going to be the deciding factor in this game. If John Gray can rein him in, then I don't know if I like the Diamondbacks' chances nearly as much. I mean, Goldschmidt is really good, really reliable. But J.D.'s the one that does all the damage, You've got guys like Pollock and David Peralta, who's definitely going to be starting against the righty, who are really good at the top of the lineup. But you can kind of see that going either way. The Rockies also have really good, just pure hitters. Like, LeMahieu's not going to hurt you with the long ball, but, he's probably one of the toughest outs in baseball, you could argue as well. Color me intrigued. I did not believe you about Luke Roy, but he has hit .310 and been on base at a 429 clip since joining the Rockies.
A broken Rudy's right twice a season. I occasionally do have those statistics.
Jeez, that is, an 865 OPS for him. So still not hitting for any power, really, but, man, that guy's getting on base. I'll give him credit for that. So it's going to be a very different type of game. Zach Greinke is a gamer. He's going to go out there. He's going to deal.
I think that's the edge, honestly. I think that's just the difference.
The thing when is,
the offense, now I'm looking at this a little bit more, the Rockies might honestly just on paper statistically have a small advantage, but I don't trust John Gray enough for this game. Not that the season's been that bad, but I don't know, man. He's not a strikeout pitcher by any means either.
I think he's more so than anyone else on that rotation by a long shot. When he was good, he's one of the better strikeout pitchers out there. That's why, kind of worked in Colorado. I don't know.
Is fair, sure. I guess you're right.
Yeah, he's a batter per inning type of guy. He's a 9K per 9 kind of guy. Which, I'll look up Greinke's K per 9 too, which I think is not quite as high as it has been. Even last year, John Gray struck out almost 10 batters per 9.
Fair enough.
And I'm going to go ahead and bring this up again. I'm going to say this so many times throughout this postseason, but stuff plays in the postseason like you wouldn't believe. John Gray is way more valuable in these high-pressure situations than, your your kind of your Irvin Santana types, your reliable go to innings kind of guys. Those they're clearly at a disadvantage, and I think we see it every year. I've mentioned Noah Syndergaard already. Obviously, some of the best stuff in the game. He was able to just go out and completely dominate. We've seen it with Madison Bumgarner. You know, he's kind of both. He's like a superstar pitcher, but it's just pure stuff. Like, he's just hucking whatever he has at you. There's a little bit less finesse, it almost seems, and it's just more competitive spirit stuff that you're bringing 100% at what the hitters have. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think Zach Greinke has nearly the kind of stuff that he used to have, and that's not a secret. This year he was really good. He struck out 215 batters in 200 innings. Definitely a really, really good resurgent year for him. But at the same time, he's not bringing mid-90s fastballs. He's averaging around 90 mile-an-hour fastballs, like close to 91. That might not get the job done in a situation like this, especially when the adrenaline's pumping. You want to rely on your best stuff. I just don't know if he's going to have an advantage over a guy who can run it up into the high 90s in a game like this. It's going to be really stupid of me to say that I doubt Zach Greinke's abilities and his competitive spirit, but you know, when it gets to a tight count, he's not going to be the kind of guy who can run a fastball and just overpower somebody anymore, you know? And that's something that's missing, I think. Do you agree with that? Like, do you kind of understand what I'm arguing there?
Yeah, and I was completely wrong with everything I just said, so it shows what I know. I can shout out one smart statistic and then just go back
to... You had Luke Roy.
Being disproved in every belief. I think you're right. I just think the Diamondbacks were a more complete team.
I agree with that, because
it's just hard to justify this Rocky team when they ended the season so in such a slump, and I don't know. I just the gut feeling is not there. They even had the bullpen too, but it seems improbable. Though I do think this is a closer game than the AL game. I really do think these teams are closer than the Yankees and the Twins are. I know that sounds very biased, but I think you can talk yourself into the Rockies a lot more than you can talk yourself into the Twins.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think John Gray is a big part of that. I don't know if I like them nearly as much as the Diamondbacks in a five-game series, because
that's what it is. Exactly.
Starting pitching is really, really good.
One game, they can do it.
The Diamondbacks have two really solid Zach G's in their rotation.
And a Robbie Ray.
And a Taiwan Walker. They have all those guys. I mean, that's a very reliable staff for the most part.
Would you have considered starting Ray over Greinke?
I definitely would have. Ray has, you know, I've talked about that spirit, that ability to challenge batters and just overpower. That's absolutely what Ray is able to do. And
he was just better this year too, probably.
I would not be surprised if they use him. He only threw 1 1/3 innings in his last little tune-up start on Sunday, and I wonder if that's because they want him available for that game. I absolutely would if I was the Diamondbacks. So I really hope they go bold and turn to Ray if they need some clutch outs. I think that would be good for them. By the way, just like a frame of reference number to throw out there, I mentioned Greinke is
hopefully give Ray Estrada some action too.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, anything's possible. They need to use it. It's all on the line. You know, we're giving Ray Estrada the chance to give it all he's got in the wild card game, and maybe the Diamondbacks will too. But what was I saying? Frame of reference on the velocity thing that I mentioned with Greinke. Greinke's averaging 90.77 on his fastball this season. Major league average is 93.19. John Gray has averaged 95.98 on his fastball this season. So a good, over 5 miles an hour faster on average than Greinke. So that, you know, that matters. And, I think that's something to keep in mind. Yeah, so I think that's basically all we have to say there. You know, the bullpens, we can talk about that, but nowhere near as strong bullpens from either side. You know, like who really seems like their go-to relief pitcher for, we'll say each of these teams, for the Rockies first, who's like the star relief pitcher in that pen?
Holland?
It seems like it should be Holland. He's been the closer,
but
and
probably
he has
not,
postseason
maybe.
Experience. I'm willing to bet that Adam Ottavino gets the most high leverage innings.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Mostly he plays the best stuff in their bullpen.
Yeah, but unfortunately he hasn't put up the numbers that we expected from him this season. But that's he is probably the nastiest slider in all of baseball. I will concede. I don't know if you saw the gif of his slider to Cody Bellinger over the weekend, but the thing is disgusting.
It was disgusting.
Yes, he is. He's the king of the slider, I think, at this point in time. If anybody has any objection to that, you can let us know. But on the other side of things, the Diamondbacks, personally, I think it's got to be Archie Bradley. You know, if they have him in a really solid lockdown inning or two, then they're going to be in good shape. Because if Fernando Rodney pitches in this game, I'm going to pull my hair out, because that is going to be the most frustrating inning ever. Because Fernando Rodney is not a shutdown guy. I refuse to believe that, no matter what kind of
How
numbers
dare
he put
you.
Up this year.
His hat would not appreciate that.
Yeah, he might shoot me with an arrow, but you know, it's a risk I'm willing to take. He's just not that good. I don't think the Diamondbacks should be willing to take that risk. He had a 4.2 ERA this season. Like,
Legend.
But, you know, he gets the saves, right? You know, who am I to judge? He gets the big bucks because he gets the saves. So I think that's a good place to wrap it up. I think you noticed that we didn't give definitive answers on who we think will win. And I think that's the right way to go, because
I definitively think the Yankees will win their game.
I definitively want the Yankees to win.
I don't care how biased
game.
That comes off. Like, I generally think they're a much better team. The Twins lost 100 games last year with essentially the same team. That cannot be discounted when going to this game. Obviously, they played much better this year. That cannot just be ignored. These are not equal teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to be throwing a lot of words like momentum and, you know, things along those lines, like consistency, reliability, all these kinds of intangible elements that come into play for playoff games. That's why they're so much more fun. You know, all season long we spew stats and stats and we analyze everything, and we're kind of doing that now, but at the same time there's a very, very present psychological element that comes into play here, and it's just the most exciting thing to watch in all of sports, in any sports playoffs. That's what you see. You see the height of the best athletes in the world, you know, with all the adrenaline, with all the emotions. It's just, I can't wait for it to start. I'm sure you feel the same way. So, you know, good luck to all these teams. I've said it many times, and yeah.
I'm not wishing good luck to the Twins, sorry.
Okay, good luck to all of the teams except anybody playing the Yankees. How about that? Is that something you can get on board with?
Perfect.
All right, good. We're good to go. So, yeah, that's going to do it for our podcast today, our wild card preview. Hope you got some information out of that. We'll see how spot on we were with, you know, what we said. And if we're dead wrong, well, sorry, it's baseball for you. So, yeah, if you want to contact us, we'd very much appreciate any feedback you have. You can tweet us at @WPB_podcast, like our Facebook page, and, you know, comment there. We'll see it anywhere you post it. You can also email us at warandpeacebaseball@gmail.com. I also recommend that you check out our website. The link for that is going to be down below. It's got all our podcasts as well as some new articles that we will be turning out very shortly. You know, I, for one, plan to release some fantasy baseball stuff in the near future, and going into the offseason we'll have all kinds of stuff as well. So be on the lookout for that. Yeah, anything else that I wanted to that you wanted to mention before we head out of here? Or are you?
What happened to Ray?
That is, it's a good question, and I do have the answer, but I, you know, we'll worry about that another time. You know.
Perfect.
You know, we all do what we can, and that's all we can ask. So, yeah, thanks again, everybody. Oh, I will mention actually one thing. Since it is the day before the postseason officially starts, we are all going to be filling out our postseason brackets. So I think we'll tweet those out and maybe share them on another podcast. So good luck to you, and you know, we'll see who ends up being right at the end of things. So yeah, I'll definitely I might link to that in the description too. We'll see. But yeah, we've droned on long enough. Thank you, everybody. As always, Rude.
Peace. Hello.
I'm doing the music, man. That's kind of the thing that we do. And we're just talking over it now, so we might as well go with it, you know?
Shit, sorry.
It's all right. It adds to the feel, if you know what I mean. So.
Okay. I always forget.